We're going to be looking at verses 26 to 35. John chapter 6, verses 26 to 35. Hallelujah. When you get there, if you're able to stand, let's all stand as we read the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 6, verse 26 to 36. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were full and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we might see it and believe you?" Or believe you, what works will you do? Verse 31. "Our father ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world."
Amen.
Verse 34. Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst."
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Father, we do bless you and we thank you and praise you, God, for your word. We know, Lord, that your word will never return unto itself void. And so, God, I pray that your word today will accomplish the very mission that it is being set out to do. Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us a mind. But today, Lord, we want you to bless us to be able to understand this word. We know, Lord, that you have given us a will. But, Lord, today, on today, we want to be obedient and do what this word says. Father, we do bless you and we thank you, Lord, and glorify you. I pray, God, that you would fill me with your spirit even now, Lord, that I might preach your word under your anointing power. Yes, Lord, I've studied, but I need your strength. Yes, Lord, I have prepared, but I need your power. Fill me now, Lord, with your spirit that I might preach your word under your power, that we might be changed and transformed and empowered today to live a life that brings you glory. Father, we do bless you and we thank you and honor you, for it is in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And we say together as one family of God, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. You all may be seated. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor. And I want you to say to your neighbor, "Lord, feed me,
Lord, feed me
until I'm filled,
with you."
Come on, turn to somebody else and be convincing enough to say it a little louder. Turn to somebody and say, "Lord, feed me,
Lord, feed me
until I'm filled,
with you."
Now throw your heads back and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm the kind of person that won't just eat anybody's food. I don't know if there's anybody else in here that's like that. And so no disrespect to anybody, but if you invite me someplace and I know that you have not done some of that cooking, no disrespect now, I'm not going to eat everybody's food. And so I want us to understand this morning that the reality of it is, or the reality is that we have to, as believers, become very particular about who feeds us. We have to be very particular in who, not only who food we eat, but what foods we eat. And I'm not just talking about a plate of macaroni and cheese. I want us to understand the importance of our souls being fed. And so in order to function in the under the authority that has been given to us in Jesus Christ, we must understand that there is a feeding, help us Lord Jesus, that there is a feeding that has to take place in the life of a believer that has nothing to do with physical food. Amen. It is a feeding where the believer should want to be filled to the point that they become obedient to whatever the Lord directs them to do. Amen. This filling is not a physical filling that requires food, but it is a blessing of being filled with God's Spirit. Turn to somebody and say, the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, after Jesus met with Paul on the road of Damascus, Jesus called to Ananias, and Ananias went and entered the house where Paul was, and laying his hands on him, he said to him, "The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came into the city, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." David said in Psalms 27, "To trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, you got to be careful who's feeding you. Jesus starts, it starts in John chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And what I want us to understand is this, that it is the will of God that we feed off of his spiritual things, that we can grow stronger in our walk with him. Amen. Jesus, having preached to the people in this text that they must work for the meat that he spoke about. And you know, this month we're fasting for 21 days. And I don't know about you, but it is a challenge many days, especially when your body has been in a routine and been used to doing something at a certain time. And now you've got to tell your body no. You've got to tell your appetite no. You've got to tell your urges no. And so Jesus in the text is preaching to the people about a meat that you cannot buy in the market. He's talking to them about a bread that is not made by hands, but a bread that is made by spiritual hands, and it has come in the form of our Savior. Spiritual food. There's a difference. Who feeds you and what feeds you is a choice. And so the reality is that we've got to begin to understand the importance and the value of being fed by the right person. And so there are two things that we should do as we feed off of the things of God. Look at verses 28 and 29. Help us, Lord Jesus. First of all, in 26, Jesus answers them and says, because again, he just fed the 5,000 folk. And Jesus says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs of me breaking the bread and multiplying the fish. He says, but because you ate of the loaves and were full. He says, that's the only reason why you're seeking me. And so the reality is that when we are seeking God, what are we seeking him? Why are we seeking him? Jesus says in verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Amen. Which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. In other words, Jesus is saying, God has set his seal on me, and so you're looking at the bread to feed you. Amen. Then he says in verse 28, those who he was sharing with and preaching to, they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? The first thing I want to share, is that when you live your life feeding off of the things of God, it is not enough to read and to speak the word of God, but we must do the works of God in our daily lives. Now, I want us to understand something. There is a difference between the work for God and the work of God. The truth is that once we receive Jesus as our Savior, God calls us to a work. He fills us with His Spirit. He gives us His Spirit. And He gives us His Spirit so that we can serve Him in the capacity that He has given us gifts to serve in. Amen? Amen. And so every believer that is in a house of the Lord, in a place of worship, ought to be also in a place where they serve. Because God has given each one of us gifts to serve in, because we are held accountable by God to do the works for God. Because of what God did for us, we have an opportunity that God creates for us to work for Him. Yes. Turn to somebody and say, that's who you're working for.
That's who we're working for.
I know you love your supervisors on your job, but you ain't working unto your supervisor. That's why no matter what goes on your job, you are still working at a level of excellence. Why? Because you are working unto the Lord and what? And not unto man.
That's right. Turn
to somebody and say, that's a work for God.
That's a work for God. Hallelujah.
Now, a work of God is when you allow the Spirit of the Lord to fill you to the place where you become an instrument to be used by God. See, only the Holy Spirit can put us in a place where we do a work of God. Only the Spirit can do a work of God. And it's only by the grace of God that He chooses us to do the work.
Yeah.
I hope you got that.
Come on now.
See. And so the believer ought to be working for God in their daily lives. But the believer also ought to be submitted to the work of God, so that they're operating in the will of God for their lives. And when we're operating in the will of God for our lives, there's nothing that is impossible for us to do, because God has already laid out destiny in the life of the believer.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to shout amen.
Amen.
It is important that we understand that. In John chapter 6, verse 28, the people asked, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? The question, I'm convinced, they were looking for a human understanding to something that can only be obtained by looking unto the hills from which cometh our help. And the Bible says that our help cometh from the Lord. And so sometimes when we are in a cadre or a difficult situation and we're calling everybody to find out a human solution, I'm telling you that there are times in your life that God will put you in a human situation that needs a supernatural answer. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you, but there's some things that have happened in my life that I couldn't figure it out. Couldn't nobody help me out. And even when I thought I knew what I should do, I was still backing myself up into a corner, because there are some things that only God will be able to give you the solution for. That's why we got to feed off of him. That's why you can sit in a difficult situation and still have a smile on your face. That's why you can be in an unruly environment and still be ruled by the Lord. That's why you can be in a situation that makes you feel uncomfortable, but yet you find your comfort in Jesus. And when Jesus gives you comfort, there's nothing that the world can do to try to throw you off of the path that the Lord has put you on. I'm telling you, you must do more than just read it. Whew. You have to do more than just speak it, because you can speak the word. Good God Almighty. Can I walk down Main Street for a minute? You can speak the word, but not live the word. And if you don't know that the Spirit has control over you, you'll keep living your life bumping into yourself when God is trying to get you and I out of the way so that he can move in the way in our lives that he has ordained and promised to move. Yeah. Thank you. Jesus wanted them to see or look towards something that was greater than the meat that they could feed off on earth. Understand this. The works of God is done when we operate as instruments of God. And I'm telling you, everything that you and I do ought to glorify the Lord. And I'm not talking about being perfect, because the Lord really does know our heart. And the reality of it is that the Bible teaches us that our heart is inherently wicked. And so in order for our heart and our actions and our emotions to surrender themselves unto the Lord, what we've got to do is we have to allow the work of God to operate in our lives. Yeah. And that we operate based on the details of God and not just what we feel like doing, what we want to do, what we like to do, what I think I want to do. That's why fasting is so powerful, because this is the time that you tell your flesh no.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Them growling stomach pains, you can tell them no, and you can stand in authority knowing, well, whatever meal you give up, because here's the thing, temptation is something that will happen no matter how devoted you are to God.
Right.
Turn to somebody and say, you're going to be tempted. You know, the meal you fast in your job, they have lunch provided free that day. Come on, amen, amen. You get to work, you say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to fast for breakfast. And you get to work and they done provided breakfast for the staff. And they come by your office saying, listen, we got breakfast. You hungry? I'm telling you, temptation is real. But when you understand that the work of God gives us strength to be instruments for God, to be examples to others, to give us power and authority to be able to tell something that's part of our regular routine, no. You understand what I'm saying? And so Jesus, after them saying in verse 28, Jesus in verse 29 answers and says to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him he sent. Now, the powerful thing about what Jesus said, and the reason, you know, it's a challenging thing when you have seen a miracle. That's why Jesus said in verse 26 that I showed you a miracle and yet you still don't believe. But the only reason why you believe is because your belly is full. And Jesus is saying that's the wrong motivation. Because the right motivation, what he says in verse 29, the right motivation is that if you really want to do the works of God, it is impossible to do the works of God without believing in me. I love the way that the Lord makes it so simple, because sometimes we take the slightest thing that is really simple and we try to mask it in this intellectual deep understanding that you got to do this and you got to make sure you move this way. And Jesus simply says, if you want the works of God to operate in your life, you have to believe not in what I do, but you also have to believe in who I am. I am the Lord your God. He says, I am the Lord who is mighty in battle. I am the Lord who is strong, who empowers the believer to live a life that brings God glory. I'm the one that wakes you up in the morning and lays you down to bed at night. I'm the one that when you found yourself in the midst of foolishness, I stepped in and took the fool out of the situation. And sometimes the fool is not the other person. Come on, amen, amen, amen. And so Jesus makes it clear. He says, I'm part of the work. And if you want to operate and you want to do miraculous things, you know, faith is miraculous. Because to believe in something that you cannot feel, that you cannot see, that you cannot tell, everything about us is about evidence. That if I can touch it, I can believe it. If I can see it, I can believe it. But faith is miraculous to me, because you got to believe in something you can't feel. You have to believe in something you cannot see. You have to believe in something that you cannot touch. But if you believe in him the way that God calls us to believe in him, yeah, I'm telling you, he'll make you feel him sometimes. Glory, glory to God. And you might not be able to touch him, but if you believe the way that God wants us to believe, sometimes he'll touch you and you'll know you've been touched. And you'll be able to see him. Because God is always, I've said this before, God is always speaking to us. And he is always revealing himself to us in all kinds of ways. And our biggest dilemma today as believers is we are so preoccupied with the distractions of life that we miss the subtle moves of God. We get up in the morning, the first thing on our mind ain't glory to God. The first thing on our mind is, what did I have to do today? And then the progress of our day starts, and we go through the morning, don't give them no glory. We go through the afternoon, don't give them no glory. We go through lunchtime, don't give them no glory. Nighttime comes, we eat dinner, we don't give them no glory. And we have spent our whole day in the routine of things that we forgot that if it were not for God, we would not even have been able to move through the routine. And so we're talking about submitting ourselves to the work of God so that we can truly live for God. See, what we have to understand is this. It is the works of God that directs our lives. Amen, somebody. Amen. It is the work of God that gives direction and instructions and shows us what to do in everyday situations in life. That's why you got to be careful who feeds you. If the gossip feeds you, then that's the wrong thing to be fed by. If you on your job and you can't wait to get the latest news about somebody, or you calling cousin so-and-so because you want to know everybody's business. If that is the thing that you're feeding on, And so I'm here to tell you as a parent, and you all understand, you can't give no baby candy every day, all day, and expect for them to grow properly because they have not received what? The right nutrition. And part of the reason why I believe believers all over the world aren't growing the way that God wants us to grow is because we like feeding off candy and not meat. Come on, Pastor, make me feel good. Come on, Pastor, make me shout real loud. Come on. And the reality of it is you can feel good about who you are and still live a life that does not bring glory to God. Oh, amen. 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 Listen, God is pleased with us when we do his work and not our work. And I want you to understand something. You don't have to be in the house of the Lord. I believe, based on God's word, that it is a requirement that anyone who is part of a ministry ought to be serving in an area of ministry so that they can use the gifts that God has given them so that they can bring glory to God. Understand that the Bible talks about it. Paul said it, that every part of the body has a specific function, and every part of the body brings to the body something that the body needs so that the body can operate and function to the glory of God. Yes, Paul used the human body to give an example, but he was really talking about the body of Christ. And so everybody who is in the house, listen, there are no, or at least there shouldn't be, any spectators in the house of the Lord. If the Lord has saved us and the Lord has empowered us and the Lord has given us a gift in which to operate in, the gift then is for us to pour out in the place where God puts us, because the gift is a part of giving the body what the body needs, and there's somebody in the body that needs your gift. That's why the work of God is not just sanctioned or limited to the place where we meet. The works of God ought to show up in our homes. The works of God ought to show up on our jobs. And I'm going to tell you something. Just because you see everybody else doing it doesn't mean that you do it. Amen. Somebody has to take a stand. Even if they ostracize you and I, somebody has to stand in the works of God, because the works of God gives direction and instruction and power to those who operate in it. And so when you allow yourself to be fed by the Lord, you have to be willing to do everything for the glory of God. If you're in here this morning and you're a worrier, then worry's feeding you. If you're in here this morning and you're a person who gets anxious, or you're a person who gets angry or upset, then that's what's feeding you. And whatever you're eating, listen, if you're being fed by the Lord and you ain't exercising, it's the same way in the natural. If you go and just eat a whole bunch of food and then you don't exercise, guess what? You're going to get bigger. And this ain't the bigger that's better. You're going to get larger, and then you're going to look in the mirror at yourself one day and you're going to say, I sure am getting bigger, when you are the person that can do something about it. And so whenever we eat, we're encouraged by our doctors to do what? Exercise. Walk around for a while. The truth of the matter is that when we feed off of the things of God, then we have to exercise them so that others can be blessed by what God has given us, but also that others will recognize that if God can do that for them, and I remember how messed up they used to be, how foolish they used to be, I remember all the mistakes they used to make. If God can do that for them because they are feeding off of the things of God, because the Lord is filling them, then I know that the Lord can do it for me. Turn to somebody and tell them, you got to be careful who you're feeding from. See, the Lord wants to be the one that feeds us.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord wants to be the one that gives us strength.
Thank you, Father.
The Lord wants to be the one that directs us. And I'm telling you this morning, whenever you make a plan of your own, you are planning to fail. Is there a witness in here? Now, I'm not saying, but when God gives you a plan, it is our, and he has given us a plan because it's God's will that we operate and function in. And the reality of it is, if you have a good idea about doing something and you're a believer, listen, I believe the Lord gives us wisdom. And if God has given you a specific way, maybe I'm just talking to myself, because there have been times that I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I'd wake up the next morning and I'd have this unction inside of me, and it would just appear in my thoughts that this would be the best way to do that. And I'm telling you, there's nobody in this building that's that smart. And the reality of it is the Lord that gives us wisdom. Why do you think that there's sometimes you get ready to do something and there's a feeling that comes over you that kind of directs you to not go that direction? That is the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God operates through what? Discernment. But some of us are too smart for discernment because we're trying to figure all this stuff out on our own, where God says, I have a specific path that I have already predetermined your life to be on. And if you would just put your trust in me and let me guide you and direct you. Listen, how many of us, after we made the mistake of guiding ourselves, God was still there waiting for us to get right back in line, right in the spot where we left, and said, listen, you don't have to go all the way to the back. Get right where you were. And now, do you trust me? Because now you have made a bad situation worse, and I'm the only one that can take a bad situation and make it good and make it operate for my good and for your good and my glory.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
It's when we can say, Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you appoint me to do. It's when we run out of... is when we run out of answers. And we stand before the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm out of answers. I'm out of strength. That's when we're saying to the Lord, Lord, now I'm ready. I'm ready for you to move in my life in a way that you've not moved before. I'm ready for you to direct me, because I've made a fool of all of this trying to direct myself. I give up. Take me, I'm yours. And the Lord graciously, glory to God, the Lord graciously takes us by the hand. Hallelujah. And isn't it wonderful that even if you get off track, glory to God, that when you get back on track, you ain't lost nothing. That God takes us right by the hand and he leads us beside the still waters. Glory to God. And he maketh our soul exceedingly glad, because now we know that all of the trouble that I've gone through, God is going to make it a nugget in my pocket that I have learned. I can learn something from it. And that's why he says in Romans 8:28 that I'm going to take all things that you do and I'm going to work them together for my good, because you love me and you are called according to my purpose for your life.
Yes. Amen.
Second thing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus again says in verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Glory to God. Which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then he says in verse, when he asks the question in verse 28, he answers them and tells them that if you really want to do the works of God, believe in me, because you can't do the works of God without believing in me. And then he says in verse 30, look at verse 30, glory to God.
Amen.
Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What works will you do? Now this right here is really a challenge for especially for us as believers, because so often before we step out on faith, we want God to show us something. Lord, before I do it, show me something. Show me, Lord, that you're real. And I'm telling you, if you're going to walk this walk of faith in the way that God has ordained for us to walk in it, sometimes, many times, you're just going to have to step out on faith. Amen. And so the people who are here are simply telling Jesus, well, if you say that you are the works of God and you say for us to believe you, show us something that then we can believe you. And the truth is, how often have we done that to the Lord? Lord, I'll do it. But Lord, show me what I'm working with first. Come on, amen. 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 They wanted Jesus to perform instead of them simply believing. Now, it wasn't a nut. See, the feeding the 5,000, because this is the group that saw God break the bread and the fish and feed 5,000 people and had leftovers. These were the same people. Now, it wasn't enough for them to see the miracle of God in breaking the bread and fish and feeding 5,000 people. They wanted him to do something else. Do something else so that we can believe in you and we can see that you're real. Now, my question to us as believers is, how many times did God got to show himself to be real? How many times does God have to keep proving himself to you to make you and I really believe who he is? At some point, you and I have to simply believe it. First of all, we have the evidence of the things that he's done in our past. Amen. Oh, you ought to shout amen. Amen. Maybe the Lord hadn't done nothing for you. But the truth is, when we look back over our lives and we look at what the Lord has done in our life, you only alive today because of what God did for you yesterday. Oh, you should have died years ago. You should have been wiped out years ago. Your name should have been wiped years ago. But if it were not for the Lord who kept you and I, and listen, in perfect peace when everything around us was chaotic.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
He did it.
Thank you, Lord.
He did it.
Thank you. That's right.
He did it. And so the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did that, listen, some of us don't have to look back real far. Some of us, something happened weeks ago where God moved by authority, and you can say, good God Almighty, Lord, I thank you.
Yeah.
Now, what more proof do you need? Come on, what more proof do you need? You should have died in the sickness you was in. What more proof do you need? You should have been, you should have been shot all upside down in the neighborhood you grew up in, but you made it. Come on. Walking the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning, knowing you should have been home and ain't nobody touched you or robbed you or raped you or beat you up or take your money. Listen. What more does he have to do? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves, is all that the Lord has done for me, we keep begging God to do more so that we can believe him more. And the truth of it is, if he doesn't do another thing, you and I already got more than enough. Come on, we can look back on situation after 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 situation and see the hand of God moving in every situation that we thought we were finished, in every situation that we were ready to throw the towel in. God, where we put a period, God stepped in and put a comma and said it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet.
Thank you, Lord.
I got some more living for you to do. I got some more work for you to do. I got some more people that you need to tell what I did for you so that they can come to know me as their Savior just like you. I got some work for you to do.
Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes.
So I'm going to keep you around. Jesus. Glory to God a little while longer. I'm going to keep you around a little while longer. Jesus says to them, they wanted a sign. And then in verse 31, they said, our fathers ate the man. If that, listen, now they throwing in Jesus' face, like, okay, now if we're going to believe in you, show us something that we'll believe in you. I mean, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and at least God showed up then. Listen, God is the one whom we find our being. And he is who springs us into spiritual power and blessings. Jesus makes it clear that it was not Moses. Good God Almighty. Look at it. Read it. Verse 32. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give your fathers bread from heaven. Let's make it clear. And so he wanted them to understand. Jesus wanted to make it clear that it was not Moses that gave the bread to them in Exodus chapter 16. But Moses was simply the instrument. And see, don't ever let anybody confuse you from the blessing and the instrument that the blessing comes through. Because whenever somebody gives you something and they've been led by the Holy Spirit, that's why we've got to be careful when somebody says, well, you know what? The Lord put on my heart, I want to be a blessing to you. And we trying to look like we got all together. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to be all right. No, you're not. You're not going to be all right. Because if God has placed it on somebody's heart to put something in your hand or to buy you a meal or to put some food in your refrigerator because you don't have the resources and the means to do it, then it is your responsibility to receive the blessing of God. But know that it's coming from God and not from them. Amen. Don't you give them glory. You thank them. But then you thank God for using an instrument, glory to God, in order and by which to do it. And so what Jesus wants the people to understand is that no, let me correct y'all, that Moses didn't give your fathers bread. He said the one who gave your fathers bread was God. But God used Moses as the instrument, listen to this, as the instrument to bless you. And so there are times that God will show up in your life through somebody else's hands. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. See, it was true that their father did eat manna in the desert when they were in the wilderness, but they misunderstood the authority and the power that then provided the bread for them, because the one who is providing the resources for you is the source of it, not the resource of it. I don't care how much you complain about your job, you ought to give the Lord praise that you have one.
Amen.
Mm. And so you've been provided employment. The people who have provided you employment they are the resource, but the one who gave you the job is the source. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God did it. And Jesus wanted them to know. Jesus wanted them to know that God did it. He said, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. He said, but my father. And this is the distinction, because Jesus was trying to get them off of natural things onto supernatural things. Because Jesus said, Moses did not give you the bread in verse 32. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my father gives you, listen to that, gives you the true bread from heaven. And so Jesus was trying to get them to stop worshiping the food that they received, him feeding the 5,000 and the bread that they ate. Jesus is saying, now that ought to give you the unction to know that you're looking at the bread of life right in front of you. And so God provides the miracle so that we can believe in him. See, not to worship the miracle. God provides the miracle so that when we receive the miracle of God, we give God glory because he's the source of the miracle. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Listen, the reality is God wants you and I to be the billboard for his agenda, his kingdom agenda. And if we half step in and we saying one thing and doing something else, how are we going to be a real good example for others unto the Lord? Because we are yet ourselves not living up to the expectation. Listen, second thing is this, is when you live your life feeding off of the things of God, it is not enough to know about God, but we have to acknowledge that he is our source. You understand what I'm saying? We have to acknowledge that he is our source. Lord, thank you for the job. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you for the health that I have. It could be worse than what it is, but Lord, I thank you. Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends, God. They people don't always do what you want them to, but Lord, I thank you that you've blessed me with. And so often, what our biggest problem is we're looking at the decrease of what's going on in our lives and not really focusing on the increase. And so we've got to understand that it is the enemy's opportunity for us, where the enemy wants us to look at what we don't have and keep complaining about what we don't have and keep worrying about what we don't have and keep saying, well, you know, comparing ourselves to the Joneses who got problems too, but we're comparing ourselves to them because they look a certain way. And I'm telling you, there are people in the building, in the churches of, I really should say just the building, because they have the form of godliness, but they ain't walking in no power. These are still the folks that think they got impressed people. These still them folks that's walking around trying to please everybody but God. Help us, Lord Jesus. It's these folks that know God but don't acknowledge God in the way that they live. I mean, it's one thing to know God. Yeah, that's a good thing that you know him. But if you aren't practicing what you're preaching or what is being preached to you or taught to you or what you're reading, then what is the purpose of you knowing God if others aren't going to know him because of you?
Amen.
I often say that if we walked on somebody's job and we polled their workers on the job and said, do you know Sister So-and-so? Do you know Brother So-and-so? And they say, yeah, I know him. Tell me about him. What would the people say? If we showed up at your family reunion and just walked around and said, hey, you know Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so? Yeah, they my cousin. Tell me about him. What would they say about us? Because when I acknowledge something, that means I believe it. When I acknowledge it. When I acknowledge it, that means I have an understanding of what the purpose is for it in my life. And so it's not enough to know him. These people wanted Jesus. Jesus just performed a miracle. He fed them. And now Jesus was telling them the importance of the true bread, and they couldn't get their minds off the regular bread. To the point that they are going to tell Jesus, well, you know, if you want us to believe you the bread, make some bread. That's what they said. Our fathers ate manna from heaven. Do that trick again, Jesus. And if you do it, I'll believe you. How often have we bargained with God? We done seen God do miraculous things in our life. But how often have we said, well, Lord, if you do this, I'll do this.